section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A title change on Raw, a title change on Impact, and the wrestling community mourns the loss of a legendary wrestler. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Ezekiel Jackson has left the WWE, or was he just not re-signed?
Actually, I heard that he had left the company. He asked for release. Although we do know WWE has been has a track record right now of not re-signing people, so they just let their contract expire. And as we all know, that's kind of what is going on with JTG right now. But Andy, Ezekiel Jackson, was he somebody that you even? I mean, when you looked at him, did you see a superstar? Did you see somebody that could, you know, be a main eventer?
I just saw a bodybuilder. That's the only way I can explain it. He never really. Like, did it for me, if that makes sense. Yeah, he was an ECW champion, but that's one of those...
The final ECW champion.
He was the final ECW champion, but they didn't really do anything with him. I think he did something with Kendrick for a little bit, but that's ages ago, if that tells you.
I don't think he's been on TV for the past 3 years.
At least, and I think he had, like, some injury as well. I think he re-signed with them, then had an injury, and they just let his contract run out. But mm-hmm. You know, it's not sad because I was like, all right, but hopefully he saved his money properly. You know, of course, Vicky, you know, is done too, which is really weird, but I want to talk about the fact that Sting has signed a deal with the WWE. It has mm-hmm. been confirmed and there was,
no, it hasn't.
Okay. It has not convicted.
Not from WWE.
Not from WWE.
Not until WWE says we have signed Sting. Will I say it is 100% official.
Do you think they're first going to run stuff on the network about Sting? Like have a, like maybe a best of Sting stuff or.
Yeah, they're going to do that for sure. They're going to do something. I don't know what his role is going to be. It might just be a Legends contract. They may have just signed him for a Legends contract. And with what's going on with Undertaker, as you know, of course, if you listen to our WrestleMania post special, you know, Undertaker, it seems like he's probably retiring. It seems like he's done. So we're probably not going to see Sting Undertaker in, you know, 2015. So I kind of think that it might just be a Legends deal.
I wouldn't be surprised if Taker goes one more, but it'd be kind of weird if Sting beat him, especially the age of Sting, because Sting is pretty old. He's in his 50s. And this is one of those things where I'm happy he signed with the WWE, but I'm wondering, like you said earlier, what role? So yeah. Anyway, so Main Event's done with Ion. Did you ever watch it on there?
I never watched it on there. I don't think most people have Ion, and you know, it's something that, you know, who cares? You know, it's not Raw, it's not SmackDown. Until those things are gone, I don't care.
And see, usually I wouldn't even talk about this, but Ion is, they do have stations like CW and NBC, they started doing that. So the WWE would get some people who had like over the air in big areas, but you know, they're gonna lose about 100K per episode. I don't see them hurting over this, but it's kind of interesting that they lost this TV deal. It just reminds me of the WWE Superstars deal that was there and then gone. And yeah. So Daniel Bryan's boots that he wore when he won the title on Sunday, they were a tribute to one Bruiser Brody, which I thought was really interesting. Do you think this was a thing stating that Cologne does not belong in the Hall of Fame?
No.
I think so.
I think that Daniel Bryan, he has an affinity probably for Bruiser Brody. I actually noticed it right away. That was one of the first things I thought when I saw his boots, because Bruiser Brody, who I actually know a little bit about him and his wrestling career. He was in a game called Virtual Pro Wrestling 2. And I remember being like, oh, wow, this guy looks kind of weird. And what's with his boots? They look kind of weird, and they're kind of furry, and that's what Daniel Bryan's boots were. So I pretty much thought that right away. I think that this is just kind of a tribute to somebody who is no longer with them, and it's kind of like the way that CM Punk was doing Randy Savage's elbow drop. It's kind of very similar in that regard.
I see. Now, here's something that I find interesting because of the WWE Network. In Demand is going to continue to run WWE pay-per-views. Or, wait, special events, as they're now known as. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, the term pay-per-view, it might be a little antiquated because it's no longer a pay-per-view. It is an event. And so I'm actually okay with that. I would actually be okay now with them potentially running a couple more a year, like just do it every 4 weeks. Just that's it. You just say every 4 weeks we're going to do an event. And that, I think, equates to 13 or 14 a year is what it would come out to. But I would be okay with that with the WWE Network. Now, 2 years ago, you're listening to the podcast. You're hearing me say that it's the dumbest thing in the world. They need to cut back on pay-per-views, do six a year. That's it. And normally I would be like, yeah, of course. But because it's $10 a month, it's basically $10 a pay-per-view, so to speak. I would actually even want more because I'd get more for my money.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's interesting that there's a rumor that they're going to change the pricing next year to $12.99?
I heard that they need to potentially to break even because they had announced that they had 667,000 subscribers and they need to hit a million to break even. And I totally understand that. I totally do. So they are 2/3 of the way there. They are going to get that last third over the year. They will. But if you raise the price a dollar on every one, then you know what? You don't have to hit a million to break even. You have to hit, you know, 700,000 to break even. And if you raise it by $2, then you have to hit 600,000 to break even, you know, so on and so forth. So I could see them potentially raising the price. But I'll say this. If they do raise it to $12 a month for it, then when I do the 6 month sign up, I'm going to make sure I do it the day of a pay-per-view. I'm going to see when that pay-per-view goes until, and then I'm going to cancel it, and then I'm going to wait. And if the next pay-per-view isn't anything compelling, I'm not going to buy it. I'll just wait till the following pay-per-view and then buy it then. So that's my thing. Right now, though, at $10 a month, guess what? You have me pretty much locked in until otherwise.
Yeah, I think there's at least four people I know that have it, and then two more that actually are considering getting it, even though they don't have high-speed internet access, which I find kind of interesting. But speaking of WrestleMania stuff, the 2016 WrestleMania is rumored to be at the Cowboys Stadium. It's all much but confirmed right now. And then they're also stating that Orlando is pretty much going to be a lock now in 2017. And then for 2018, there's four towns that want it as well. And each one has a good argument. Do you think that this is becoming like the Super Bowl where they, or even the Olympics, they're bidding to get WrestleMania because of all the revenue that gets brought to the area? I mean, New Orleans, I can pretty much guarantee you it bring in almost $1 billion of
not a billion.
Well,
they announced at a press conference for WrestleMania 30 when they were in New York, they said we brought, and it was, I don't even know the exact number, but they said it was like $100 million in revenue. You know, which doesn't surprise me, you know, and I, you know, I could be off by quite a bit, you know, so don't quote me on that. That doesn't surprise me. When you have major events like this, yes, it's going to bring a lot of revenue to you. And the fact of the matter is that this is something that people buy WrestleMania tickets without knowing the card. I think WrestleMania 30 went on sale in November. I could be off by a month, but I think it went on sale in November. People bought it not knowing what the main event was going to be, not knowing what any match was going to be. None. Nobody knew what the matches were going to be. People bought tickets, and it almost sold out right away. So, of course, it's going to be something. It's like the Super Bowl. Look, you're going to buy tickets for the Super Bowl if it's in your area, and you don't know who's going to be in it because it's the Super Bowl. So same thing. This does not surprise me at all. And if anything else, if 2018, which a long ways away now, but if 2018 is in Indianapolis, like is one of the rumors, it wouldn't be too far away from us. And I would probably consider going then.
Yeah. In fact, the other rumor is Columbus, Ohio, which could break the record because the stadium holds, I think it's like 102 or 103,000 people. And that's not even including the field. Mm-hmm. So when you throw the field in, I don't know, I'll just throw, you know, another 10,000 if, and I'm probably lowballing it there, to the field. And the only issue you're going to run into is like people having obstructed views. And that's the one thing that they said, that if by them being at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, there wasn't that issue because it's right there. That's why I think Columbus would be a perfect one, realistically. But if you want to get into it, Indy's probably where it's going to go. So anyway, so the biggest news of the week, and it's really sad, but the Ultimate Warrior, Jim Helwig, has passed away. What are your thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, it was quite sobering when I read that. I was just amazed because we just saw him. We saw him on Sunday. We saw him on Saturday. We saw him on Sunday. We saw him on Monday. We saw him three straight times in a row. And then to find out Tuesday night that he had died, I was just like, there's no way. And his promo, of course, was a little like too much on the nose. Granted, all his promos were. So there's no nothing there. But I think I said in our Ultimate Warrior special that we did as one of our special shows. You know, I said that I think that not that he was underrated, but I think that maybe he was unfairly prosecuted for the person that he was. And I'm not saying anything about him being a great person, because he wasn't. I'm not saying he was a great person, but the entertainer Warrior did exactly what he said he was sought out to do. He was an entertainer, you know, which is kind of taking him away from Jim Helwig. Of course, I do feel real bad for his daughters and of course, his wife, too. So, you know, right now he's wrestling Macho Man in heaven.
You know, it really hurt me when I heard he passed. You sent me a message and I wanted to send you a message. Liar. But I didn't, because sometimes you'll send me messages and I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. If you send me a message, Dan O'Brien, you know, 2 years ago, Dan O'Brien's going to be in the main event at WrestleMania and win the titles, I'd be like, liar. And of course, I'd be wrong. But when you sent it to me, I was like, this can't be true. So I did other things. And then finally, my wife comes down. She's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, my brother sent me a stupid message. I should look it up. And then I looked it up and you weren't kidding. He had really passed away. And, you know, like, it actually bothered me. It still bothered me, you know. Gosh, what, like 3 days later, it's still bothering the crap out of me, because everyone just saw him at the Hall of Fame. He was just at WrestleMania. He cut a promo on Raw, and then he dies. And realistically, as a wrestler, if you wanted to go out and you want to have one more quick run, he did. He actually had it. His daughters got to see what he used to be, the character, and it's kind of, I'm happy for it. And, you know, there's a really good quote that he said from his promo that you guys should check out. It's, you know, it starts off, every man's heart beats one day, beats its final beat. His lungs breathe its final breath. And if what the man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the bodies of others, if it makes them believe deeper in something larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized in storylines by loyalty.
Immortalized,
I'm sorry. By the storytellers, by their loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make him the man did live forever. I thought that was really interesting, because that was almost 24 hours before he passed, and he said that in his promo. You know, it's just a sad day in wrestling, and I'm still shocked about it, because, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Just the fact that we just saw him, and he looked fine.
I know, it's so weird.
Anyway. Andy, I wanted to ask you something that happened on Raw this week. RVD made his return, which was pretty cool to see RVD come back. He squashed Damian Sandow. What did Damian Sandow do to management?
I think RVD needed to squash someone, and you needed a heel that no one likes. And, you know, Sandow was it. And, you know,
3MB. What are they doing?
You could have brought Jinder. I can never get his name right.
Jinder, as you like to call him.
Yes. Jinder. You can always bring, you know, him in and have him get the squash match. But I think Sandow, we'll see what happens with this. One quick bit from Sandow that never got aired and he didn't do in front of cameras. He went to homeless people and gave them all $10, the ones that he saw. Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. No cameras around. Only a handful of people knew about it.
Another fun fact, he is 1-48 this year.
Is he really?
Yep.
Who do you
mean? Andy, your boy, Zack Ryder, returned to Raw this week. What did you think of his match?
Oh, he did great, didn't he? I was so glad to see that, the guy from the LLI came back and lost to whatever his name is, Rusev, or, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Rusev, yeah.
Rusev. Come on. Zack Ryder was so high, and then now it's like, let's not do anything with him. Can he wrestle JTG at least and get some wins at some house shows?
So, speaking of which, we're hitting a trifecta pretty much, right? Because we had Rusev make his appearance, right? And he won in a squash match. RVD returns, wins in a squash match. And then your girl, the person you've been speaking about for almost a year now, Paige, she wins the Divas title. And I don't want to say it was a squash match, but it was, of course, a very quick one. What did you think of that?
Okay. The match itself was decent, but there was something off about it. I it's hard to explain, but it was like a timing thing. And if you watch the match again, it was all timing. And I blame that on that AJ Lee did it on purpose. I think that she did that just because she's engaged to CM Punk. But she should be happy that she got her WrestleMania moment. She left the Divas champion at WrestleMania, and she can say that at WrestleMania 30. So for her to, I don't want to say have a bad match with Paige on purpose, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what happened. But I'm glad to see Paige is there. She won with the Paige Turner, which I was surprised about, because she also does another move where it's a cloverleaf with the Chris Jericho knee, which I think is awesome. I'm glad that she got finally called up, because I think there's going to be a couple more Divas leaving. I'm glad to see, but the weird part is she won the championship.
Now, do you think AJ Lee is going to leave?
That's a good question. I've contemplated, what are they going to do with her now? It wouldn't surprise me if she left and then said, I'm going to try acting. But realistically, she's one dimensional. So I get.
Well, no, she's a wrestler. I mean, and like, I don't see her being anything else. She is a wrestler, plain and simple.
She. OK, yeah, I will admit that. Yeah, she is just a wrestler. But I think she's going to, I wonder if CM Punk is getting to her, if that makes sense, where she sees what he's done and, like, I'm, you know, almost jealous, like he goes and does this and this and he's home for like 5 days. You know, this is one of those tough things. Like, I'm getting back to the fact that Paige won. I'm glad the crowd was into her, because also there's a lot of people from England that went to Raw. So they were into her. And I think also the crowd itself was like, finally, a real women's wrestler comes in. If she has any matches with Natalya, they're going to be almost 5-star woman matches, which is like a 3-star men's match. So,
oh, wow. Well, the thing is, AJ was a good female wrestler. You know, I mean, she was very passable. She, her and Natalya were the two main people, I would say. Adding Paige, now you have three. You know, that's good. And I agree that they need to get rid of some of the Divas. I think, honestly, I think that this was one of the worst segments on Raw. Raw this week was amazing. You need to watch it. This was one of the worst booked segments. And the main reason why, here's why, Andy, because you just had your Divas champion defended against everyone else, everybody else. It was like 14-on-1, right? And she won. She won. That makes no sense, right? So why is it then that she has this other girl come out who is like probably the same size as her, and she's able to beat her in a matter of seconds by doing one move? She didn't do any other moves. She did one move to her, the Paige turn. And let's just be honest, that move is you throw them on their back. It's
pretty much a leg sweep with your hand.
It's a leg sweep. Yeah, it's a leg sweep. You leg sweep them to a victory. And this is how you're going to have her lose the title? How about instead we have AJ beat the crap out of Paige, and then, you know, she pins her, and then at the pay-per-view, that's when she loses the title. I have no problem AJ losing the title. I just think the booking of this was stupid and it was short-sighted. I blame WWE for being on a WrestleMania hangover.
And the script up for this segment, it like, truthfully, I think they threw it together at the last minute. I think they're like, hey, let's go ahead and have AJ drop the title. And here's what you guys are going to talk about. And then they're like, huh? And I think that's also why the match was bad. So maybe my thoughts about AJ Lee will move it and put it over somewhere else. But the one thing that I was really, really, really happy about was that we got a new Paul Heyman guy. Antonio Cesaro. And of course, Zeb Coulter said he wasn't a real American. I thought this was awesome, fun. And the thing is, Heyman coming out with Cesaro made Heyman a face immediately.
It's funny. He's a heel with Lesnar and he's a face with Cesaro. It's actually kind of entertaining. I got to ask you. Yeah. So Zeb comes out. He's a little confused. Right. And then Swagger comes out, attacks Cesaro. You know, they have a match, but, you know, ends in a count out. But Swagger beat the crap out of the Andre Memorial Trophy. I mean, he threw it on the ground. That thing smashed into a million pieces. So now they have to make a new one. Where do you see Cesaro and Heyman going?
I think Cesaro is going to go to the top. I believe that he'll be a main eventer. And I think it's because now.
How soon? End of the year?
9 months. End of the year.
Okay.
I think by the end of the year, you'll see him not. Maybe he won't. I don't think he'll main event, but he'll be like almost main event, like the second main event. Not like the Kiss Demon where he was main event as a curtain jerker. another time. But yeah, I believe that Cesaro is going, because the fans love the fact that he can wrestle and he can wrestle anyone and it's a good match. And I think the fans now want match quality and he has it. And he got that from the indies, not from the Performance Center, but oh well. I'm happy
for Cesaro. But I think the other thing too is that he was putting a really good program. And one of the things I think people don't give enough credit for is that Zeb Coulter helped get Swagger over a little bit more. And then when they paired Antonio Cesaro with him, those two together were really over. And the people, as dumb as it is, people chant it. Even though it's supposed to be a heel thing, people still chant it for a heel team. And Zeb, I think, was a great, great manager. And the fact that we're going to have – this is something we haven't seen in a long time. We have two wrestlers who each have managers who are going to be going at it. And let's be honest, when was the last time we saw that? Because you don't see managers in wrestling that often.
Good point.
It's very rare.
Good point. I never thought of it that way. That's true. They both have managers. They're both going to wrestle. We know it. The next – well, it hasn't been announced yet, but, you know, Extreme Rules, they're going to wrestle. So
And neither managers are wrestlers. That's another really important distinction. So kind of cool. Andy, let's talk about the main event. Of course, this kind of took the entire Raw. This is what everybody was talking about, what everything was going over, Triple H and Daniel Bryan. So announced that they were going to take each other on in the main event. And of course, he had his boys with Evolution beat the crap out of Daniel Bryan and then start the match. But we had the Shield come in to make the save. What do you think is going to happen here?
I was wrong. I think what they're doing with the Shield now is better. And Seth Rollins, I wanted to bring up something Seth Rollins said in an interview. He said the fact that all three of them have been together, they've made Roman Reigns a better wrestler. And I will agree with him because he was not a wrestler. But if you remember when he started to what he is today, it's night and day. The fact that they didn't split him up, I think now the Shield's bigger because of what happened. And I don't see them splitting up for a long time. So them coming out and helping Daniel Bryan, they got put up to upper mid now, not main event. Cause I don't think they can get main event right now, but upper mid right now, they are that over, big time over. So I'm just wondering who they're going to wrestle at the next pay-per-view, but I think I already know because I believe it's going to be Evolution.
So let me ask you this. You think that's going to be Shield taking on Triple H, Batista, and Orton?
Yes.
So who is Daniel Bryan going to take on?
Good question.
Because that's got to be a main event.
No, here's what I bet happens. I bet you that you have Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan, and then it'll be Batista, Triple H, and Kane versus the Shield.
I got one better for
you. Okay, I'm listening.
4-on-4.
Okay, bring RVD in.
Why RVD? Why not Daniel Bryan and the Shield taking on Evolution and Kane?
He has to defend the title at the next pay-per-view. It's extreme.
Not necessarily.
Yeah,
not necessarily.
That's the thing. That's what they messed up with CM Punk.
I agree. Normally you have in my mind, every pay-per-view, the main title is defended no matter what, secondary title 90% of the time, you know, so on and so forth, right? However, though, there are special events where the title is not defended. And this does happen every now and then. I think that this is an opportunity here to have 4-4 as the main event. And then you can have all of these other secondary matches. You can build feuds around, for example, Cesaro and Swagger. You can have Big Show taking on somebody else and you know, that type of a match. You could have these secondary ones where you can help build up these characters. And I think that would give you a better opportunity. So that's what I would do.
Well, that is a possibility. This is one of those weird things that I guess we're going to have to see what happens on the next few Raws. And then they'll probably decide what the show is going to be. But I truthfully believe that we need to defend the title. Daniel Bryan just came off a huge title win. He needs to defend it. This would be a missed opportunity if he's in a mixed tag match or just a tag match with someone else.
But I think that's important, though, what you just said there. Now you have to tune into the next few Raws. They're doing something really great here. WrestleMania this year, I think, was a success. And I think this Raw was also a success. And so there's nowhere to go now but down.
That is true. Hey, by the way, why didn't RVD wrestle like Curtis Axel or Ryback?
Yeah.
they're still big, you know, they could have done that. Yoshitatsu. I mean, there's a lot of people. Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do y'all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Make sure you check out the Section 86 Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items at WWEShop.com. Let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. So Sam Shaw... Christy Hemme lures him, and Ken Anderson just puts on probably the most entertaining segment from Impact. What are your thoughts on this, dude?
So, yeah, Christy Hemme, like you said, lured Sam Shaw to the ring, and then Anderson comes out. They put him into a straitjacket, you know, to take him to the psych ward, right? I gotta ask, so you said it was one of the most entertaining segments. I mean, you originally... did not like the Sam Shaw, Ken Anderson feud. What do you think of it now?
It's very entertaining and comical, but I always thought Ken Anderson was comical in that way where he was kind of psycho. So this segment to me, I was very entertained by.
Overall, and I like Ken Anderson too. I got to say, Ken Anderson is one of my favorite wrestlers on Impact. And I know he came from WWE, and I liked him at WWE. And I think that in Impact, they've done some really good things with him. They've done some dumb things with him though too.
That is true. But overall, very entertaining. Now I'm kind of interested to see what happens next week. So this has piqued my interest a little bit. Now, what do you think they're going to do with Dixie, dude? Is she just going to be there and fight with MVP from here on out?
I did like that they said she is still the president. You know, they came out and said, well, she didn't lose the company. You know, she's just not doing the day to day stuff. Like, and that's what MVP is in charge of. That is smart because that's one of the things that's always bothered me. It's like, hey, in kayfabe, doesn't she still own the company? Isn't Vince McMahon still the CEO of WWE, even though he lost that match? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I'm glad that they did talk about that. I'm curious what they're going to do, though, with Bobby Roode and Bully Ray, because they've already had some matches. At the pay-per-view, I'm assuming they're going to be wrestling each other. Although realistically, the pay-per-view, it doesn't have any matches announced for it. Oh, and by the way, it's in 3 weeks, which means you have two shows left for it. You have two shows and you have no matches announced. Can you explain this one to me?
Are you hesitant to even buy the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen. If as a wrestling fan, I can tell you matches that will probably happen. We're going to see, EY taking on Magnus, probably. We're going to see the Bromans taking on the Wolves, Roode versus Bully Ray. And then probably, Anderson and Shaw, that's four. And then they're going to have two other matches. X Division match, I'm assuming. Kenny King, MVP. So that's seven. Probably throw in an eighth one somewhere. But these are matches I just now announced. That they haven't. They haven't announced these. So it makes zero sense. Zero sense.
And I think they should have announced at least one match for the pay-per-view, even if it was the opening match. They didn't. And I think that was a very big missed opportunity for TNA. Very big. Now, the thing that I was kind of intrigued by was that Eric Young won the 10-man gauntlet match that opened the show up. Interesting.
I was surprised. I thought Gunnar was going to win, personally.
Yeah, I really thought he was when it came down to it. I was like, Gunnar's going to win. And then it came down to Abyss and Storm.
And EY.
And EY. And then Storm goes out. And then Abyss tries to get him out a couple of times. And then Abyss is gone. EY wins. And I was like, interesting. Why? You know, what's the point of this? I just thought it was weird. And it kind of reminded me of like a Dan O'Brien situation where he goes and wrestles one match and comes back for the main event. Which is what happens. So Young took on Magnus for the TNA title. And what happened here, Aaron?
EY is your new TNA champion.
What?
EY is now your TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
I believe this was a mistake. And I believe it's that he's your champion now. And now he's going to drop the title to Magnus in 3 weeks. That's what I think is going to happen.
I like EY. I think he's very entertaining, but I think kind of like with Chris Sabin should never have won the title ever.
Correct.
And I think EY, look, he's been with the company for a long time, but I don't see him as being main event material. And I hate to say that because I like him. I think that he's fantastic. He seems like the type of guy I'd be friends with in real life. I just got to say, I don't think that he's main event material. And somebody like Christopher Daniels, who's been with the company since its inception, is not a former World Heavyweight Champion, and he, in my opinion, deserves a title run because I believe that he is a main eventer. Yet they give it to Chris Sabin and they give it to EY, and this, in my opinion, is one step forward, two steps back. Because yes, having Magnus lose the title is okay, but have him lose to somebody credible. Samoa Joe is a credible champion. He's a credible wrestler, and that's fine to lose it to him. And I understand they're trying to build all these other newer guys like Sam Shaw and EC3. But EY is not that type of guy. He's not the person who's going to, you know, carry you into the next few months. Samoa Joe is. And so I'm very confused by this. I really am. And I don't understand the direction TNA is going with this right now.
Do you think the fact that Samoa Joe had the concussion earlier, I think it was on the 28th. Do you think that's why EY took that place? Maybe Joe was going to win the title?
No, because something like that, they would wait. They would wait for it. They would say, all right, you know what? Samoa Joe, he can't be out this week, so we're going to wait for two more weeks for him to come back. I don't understand this. I really don't. And TNA, I like TNA, and I'm a big TNA defender a lot of times. I just think, look, wrestling is free, so you know, being able to watch WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, might as well, you know, watch what you can. But sometimes it's like defending, you know, that black sheep in the family, you know, to your friends. It's like, no, my brother's cool. Like, no, he's good, and that's what TNA is like right now.
Do you think that Bully Ray is going to be done with TNA? Like, because you know that Daniels and Kazarian, they're not going to the way it looks, they're not re-signing them to a contract, so they're kind of pretty much done. Do you think they're going to do the same thing with Bully Ray, where they're like, yeah, your contract's up in June, so we're just kind of going to let you go at that time? Do you think they're going to end up doing that?
I think the difference with Bully Ray is they have him in a very entertaining program. They have him with a top star in the company. I mean, Root is a top star there. Daniels and Kazarian, who should be there because they're an entertaining tag team, they're not. I'm pretty sure they are going to be done because they are not featuring them. But Ray, I think that he's going to be around for a little while longer. He might sign an extension, but I could even see him signing a multi-year contract.
That is really interesting. What do you think about Jeff Jarrett's new promotion?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We didn't talk about that, did we?
We didn't talk about it.
We're going to have to talk about it a lot next week because obviously we're running over. But I think that it could do something. But I think the field is already, you have three main competitors. You have your global, your national, and your regional promotion. I don't know where this is going to be. And so I think that we'll have to spend some time talking about it, especially when we get some more information.
When we get some more information on, also you can check out Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett. They're going to be at a Dreamwave Wrestling in La Salle, Peru. And looks like I'll be going to that show tomorrow. So can't wait for it. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.